The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
For our time of catechesis this morning, we are on page 321 with the seventh commandment. What is the seventh commandment?
You shall not steal.
What does this mean?
You should fear and love God so that you do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or give them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
If you read the large catechism, Luther talks about a variety of different ways that things might be stolen, and he has some not so positive things to say about government in his own day, that maybe sometimes over taxes and things like that. And we would probably reiterate some of those concerns in our own time. But I wonder if he could even imagine the ways that we can steal today that wouldn't probably have occurred to him, especially when you think about electronic means. And, when I was teaching engineering communication, and we would talk to the students about plagiarism. There was a time where if you were going to take someone's words, you had to at least retype them from the source that you were taking them from. But today, of course, you don't. You can just copy and paste right off the internet, and the students think, wrongly, I might add, that because you can do that, that somehow that makes it okay, right? And so the newer version of the synodical explanation of the catechism talks about such things as plagiarism by copying and pasting, and downloading things that you're not entitled to download. So there's all sorts of theft that takes place today that I think Luther would maybe be shocked at just the diversity of possibilities. Not that he would be shocked that people do it, because we're just as sinful today as the people were back then. And so that people steal is not at all surprising. It's just all a question of how the theft is done. And then, of course, as we always note with the commandment, reviewing the commandment still leaves us in our sin, but we remember that Christ died for our sin on the cross, and that through faith in him, we can have the forgiveness of sins and then try to keep the commandments, not because we're strictly afraid of being punished for breaking it, but because we fear that in a respectful way and love God, and so try to keep the commandments as well. Any other comments, questions about the seventh commandments? No? All right. The preparation for study four is on page 203. I invite you to turn there and please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of Christ in the fellowship of his altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away, up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away,
but my words will not pass away.
Precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I command him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you.
In whose hearts are the highways to
Zion. The epistle reading is from 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Because your redemption is drawing near.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once."
Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 508.
Savior, pay the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know, my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and Satan cannot threaten me.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, Pilgrim member Ben Ford and I were lamenting our respective losses of heads of hair. Perhaps you know someone else who has lost hair, or perhaps you yourself have lost hair. I could look at Pastor Adler, but I won't. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells his disciples that not a hair of their head will perish, which is clearly not a promise that we will never lose any literal hair, but rather it is a proverbial promise about God's ultimately protecting us. In the midst of the lengthy gospel reading about the last things, that promise about God's protection is one of several especially comforting statements, along with Jesus' saying that by our endurance we will gain our lives, that we should straighten up and raise up our heads because our redemption is drawing near, and that we should pray that we may have strength both to escape all things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The divinely inspired St. Luke's account of Jesus' teaching about the last things uniquely reports that particular comforting statement about standing before the Son of Man. So this morning, considering primarily today's gospel reading, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we consider the theme, standing before the Son of Man. From last Sunday's gospel reading, in which Jesus publicly told the Sadducees that the dead are raised, our series of appointed readings has skipped over 11 verses to today's gospel reading, in which Jesus privately teaches his disciples about persecution, the destruction of both the temple and Jerusalem, and the coming of the Son of Man. If last Sunday's gospel reading was about the last things of the intermediate state and the bodily resurrection of the dead, then we might say that today's gospel reading is about the last thing of the final judgment, including our redemption. Of course, by nature, we deserve for far more than a single hair of our heads to perish. Earlier in this service, already this morning, in Divine Service Setting 4's rite of preparation, we rhetorically asked, in the words of Psalm 130, verse 3, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" That psalm is not the only scripture passage that makes clear our inability as sinners to stand in the presence of our holy God at any time, much less on the day of judgment. For example, Psalm 76, verse 7 similarly asks of the Lord, "Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused?" Nahum 1, verse 6 similarly asks, "Who can stand before the Lord's indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by it." A few verses before today's Old Testament reading, Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 similarly asks, "Who can endure the day of his messenger's coming, and who can stand when he appears?" Then there is today's Old Testament reading's warning itself. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." But as Malachi also makes clear in today's Old Testament reading, for those who fear the Lord's name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Truly, for those who follow the Holy Spirit's leading to turn in sorrow from their sins and to trust God to forgive them for Jesus' sake, with the Lord, as Psalm 130 and Divine Service Setting 4's rite of preparation go on to say, there is forgiveness. By nature, we deserve to perish completely. But God showed his love for the world by giving his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Today's gospel reading is Jesus' last teaching before his suffering and death on the cross for us and for our salvation. The Son of God in human flesh, Jesus was betrayed by a close friend, had hands laid on him in his arrest, and was brought before a governor and a king for our sake. By his endurance of all of his suffering, we gain our lives. When we are sorry for our sin and trust God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive us. God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. Unrepentant unbelievers may faint with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, but we should straighten up and raise our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. For whether we are judged at our deaths or when Christ comes with power and great glory, we who repent and believe are declared righteous, forgiven, effectively not guilty. In today's gospel reading, the disciples ask, and Jesus answers at length, about seeing signs and knowing what is happening when they see the signs. For us, in holy baptism, holy absolution, and in the Holy Supper, we have signs so that we can know what God is doing for us and when he is doing it. God's word with water and holy baptism puts his triune name upon us and rescues us from death and the devil. God's word with touch in holy absolution forgives us in that same triune name as validly and certainly even in heaven as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. And God's word with bread and wine that are the body of Christ given for us and the blood of Christ shed for us in the Holy Supper administered in that same name give us the forgiveness of sins and so also life and salvation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but our Lord's words in all of their forms and their benefits for us, like the Lord himself, will not pass away. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says that because of his name, all people will hate us and lead us to government officials. Betrayal by parents and brothers and sisters and other relatives and friends sounds and is horrible. But Jesus says that such can be an opportunity to bear witness. And during these so-called times of the Gentiles, the church is about her Lord's work. Our Lord tells us beforehand that such things will happen, and so we are not surprised when they do happen. He also helps us get through whatever he in his wisdom permits us to face. His words that by our endurance we will gain our lives, that we should straighten up and raise our heads, and that we should pray to have enough strength both to escape all these things that are going to happen and to stand before the Son of Man would be little comfort if we had to do them all on our own. Far from it. The Lord, by his word and sacraments, strengthens us so that we can endure opposing evil and waiting patiently, that we can straighten up and raise up our heads, that we can escape, and that we can stand before him. Indeed, as St. Paul writes to the Romans, the Lord is able to make us stand. As we heard in the epistle reading, the Lord is faithful and will establish us and guard us against the evil one. As we prayed in the collect of the day, we live and abide forever in him. We do not know the answer to the foolish question of whether or not our resurrected bodies will have the kind of hair that we once had. But far more importantly, we do know that on the last day, by God's grace, we will be standing before the Son of Man. In the weekly rhythm of departing from and returning to the divine service, as we sang in the intro, the Lord will keep our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With thanksgiving for the Father's love shown by giving his only Son to death on the cross and his Holy Spirit that we might repent and believe, for us and for all who believe, that faithfully receiving God's forgiveness through his word and sacraments, we might be strengthened to escape all the things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that she might point people to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. For the persecuted, that not a hair of their heads ultimately may perish. For the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together, that we might be united in right teaching and practice. For pastoral candidates to be called and pastoral vacancies to be filled. For the Luther Academy, that the organization might serve more Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. And for this congregation, that absent members might return, our Sunday school prosper, and our offerings be more than sufficient for the work of God's kingdom in this place. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all the baptized, that our hearts might not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, but that we always might be spiritually awake, and that we might resist especially temptations to sexual sin and to despair. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, especially those whom the Lord places in our lives, that he might use us to reach them, that they also might lift up their eyes unto the hills from where their help comes. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that we might have a functioning federal government and civil relations with and between the states. For non-combatants in war zones to be protected, for good and faithful leaders that they might serve the Lord's purposes, for all people to be good citizens, and for those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments, that they might be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
with thanksgiving for the safe return of those who have traveled, for Brady, Remo, and Kathy, David, Charles, and all those who do travel or are traveling or will travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted, for victims of violent crime, that they may feel safe again, for those imprisoned and their families, that they may have hope and patience, for those shut in and otherwise homebound, that through God's word and sacraments he might be present with them where they are. For David, Lana, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, David, Gwen, Bob, Debbie, Jim, BJ, John, Ann, Steve, and all who are in need of healing, that God might deliver them from their afflictions in his way and time, and for all who serve in medical professions, that they might have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that the hearts of parents might be turned to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. For all expectant mothers and their children, that they might be brought safely through delivery and the children to the waters of holy baptism. For all God's people, especially those without spouses and children, to be content. For us to better protect God's gift of human life. And for God to bless all schooling, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for God's marital blessings to Tim and Ann, and his blessings of physical and spiritual life to Lainey. For Tim and Ann, that they might always live together in the forgiveness of sins, and that their love for God and for one another might be deepened through every joy and sorrow that they share. And for Lainey, that God might continue to grant her physical life according to his will, help her to remember and use her baptism, and preserve her in her baptismal grace all the days of her life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
the body of Christ given for you. Amen. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and in soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout the days of our pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Here.
And glad that Debbie is home, and hopefully on Zoom. She had a little trip back to the hospital this week, but is home now, and hopefully will be home for a while. Still, she hasn't done the procedure perhaps. And Pastor Shockley is engaged, as he should be, I suppose, with her. A couple announcements to highlight for you in the bulletin. One is that Mary Martha meets today, and we'll do a little bit of cleaning. Bible study will continue this week with Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. That's Jonah inside the belly of the great fish. So that's, if you've never taken a close look at that, that's worth paying attention to. And that will be probably our last midweek Bible study. It goes on sort of what we call hiatus for Advent to Christmas. So after this week, we won't have midweek Bible study again until January, which is always too bad, but that's the way it goes. Catechesis continues this week. And then next Sunday, I've noted for you there is a community Thanksgiving service. These are always sort of tricky. Kilgore has had a history of these services, hasn't had one for quite a number of years, but before I was here, they had quite a history of them. The Helping Hands Food Pantry kind of came out of the Kilgore ministerial group and these joint community services. We can certainly attend as individuals, but as I note here in the bulletin, because we do not agree with these other churches in doctrine, we do not officially join with them in worship. So Kilgore is not a sponsoring congregation of the joint service. I am not participating in the leadership capacity in the joint service or anything like that. For those of you who are going to be in town for Thanksgiving and not having family come in, or going to family, as my mom and I are doing, you're certainly welcome to have a service together. Our inreach coordinator Ben likes to talk about things happening sort of organically. And it doesn't mean with compost, but it means just happening sort of on their own. So if someone would like to kind of, you know, pull together a Thanksgiving meal for the people who are here without other family members, but their brothers and sisters in Christ, you're certainly welcome to do that. The church, of course, would be available for that. You could use the parish hall and the serving kitchen and the little kitchen if you needed to use an oven or use a roaster or something like that. So just think about that. See what you want to do about that. It doesn't have to be official or anything like that. It could be for those who find themselves here without other family. Any other announcements? The garbage has given up the ghost, from what I understand.
Yeah. Major frost damage, yes.
Okay, so no produce today. Go to the store and buy it from Venezuela.